This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Dearest God, may we find our peace in you this day. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I have a request this morning for a volunteer. It'll only be a few moments. Can be anybody, a volunteer. I promise I won't humiliate you. Anybody? Okay, come on down. Come on down. And while Angie is coming, I'd like to set the scene a little bit. And she's going to have a crucial part in this depiction. It can be right here on the bottom step. I just have to whisper something to her. 1 minute. Got it? Did you hear the whispers? Okay, good. Then we're set. So we just heard the gospel. Jesus had said to the disciples, let's go across to the other side. And the geography of the sea, he knew that the potential was there for storms to come up. But nonplussed, he got into the boat with the disciples, and he went to sleep in the back of the boat. And sure enough, a great storm arose. And the disciples said, wake up, Lord, what are you doing? We're dying here. Don't you care that we're perishing? And Jesus said, peace be still. And the wind and the waves went into a dead calm. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate that. Thank you, Jesus. I used this same example when I was a chaplain here at the school. And young Matt Schramko at the time had volunteered to do exactly what Angie just did. And he came up and stood right about there. And Mr. French made the sounds again. And he raised up his hands and said, peace be still, dead calm. And the faces of the children, I wish I could have had a picture, because they thought that Matt had really stopped it. They did. Would that it were that simple to stop the raging storms that all of us experience within and witness without. Well, I'm here to tell you it is that simple, but it isn't easy. It certainly isn't easy. Our storms come in many different forms. Some of you might offer some examples. What might our storms be? Just shout it out. Illness, violence. What? Family strife. Yes, and watching a loved one die. Hearing about horrible things going on. War, oppression, abuse. Can be any end of the spectrum, from horrible violence and murder to handing your car keys to your child for the first time that they drive at night and the storm that rages until they walk back in the door safely. Our storms are many and varied, and we all experience them at one point or another. One technique that many of us use, and I'm sure many of you use, is to use affirmations. And the command that Jesus gave in the gospel of peace be still is one of the most powerful that is used over and over and over again. So we say, peace be still, in the middle of the night, or when we really want to get to a calm, and over and over and over again, and it works to calm us, except when it doesn't. And then what do? You go back to it again, and you keep at it, and you keep at it, and you keep at it. Or it could be what we heard of the line from the psalm. For God's steadfast love endures forever. Our storm might be raising, and we say, for God's steadfast love endures forever, endures forever, endures forever. Or this classic from Teresa of Avila. Let nothing disturb thee, nothing affright thee. All things are passing, God never changeth. I've used this one in my life over and over and over and still do. And it's amazing the shift that happens when you practice this method. And it can be many different verses from Scripture or words of wisdom. You may come up with your own. We are literally, physiologically rewiring our brains when we do this. Our frontal cortex, when engaged, takes the energy away from what's called the reptilian brain, which is at the back of our neck, and moves our focus to thinking about something else. And literally, many of you already know this, that mind-body connection kicks in, and our heart rate goes lower, our blood pressure, our pulse, everything kind of begins to settle down. And in prayer with this, it's this divine marriage between our physiological empowerment within our fears and prayer, and the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst. And this rewiring takes practice. And so the trick, though, and the hard thing, is that it isn't always easy to remember it when we're in the midst of it. That's the real shift that has to happen in our habit. Because in the midst of the whirlwind, just like we heard in the Job reading earlier, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. That's where the Lord spoke to Job, out of that whirlwind. It wasn't that he was the whirlwind, but he spoke to Job out of that whirlwind. Or there's also a very popular story from Elijah when he was running for his life from the evil King Ahab and Queen Jezebel for standing up for the one true God. And he was panicked and fretful and listened to his words. Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He's hiding out in this cave. And he answered, "I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they're seeking my life to take it away." You can hear the fretfulness and the fear and the panic in his voice. And then God says, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of sheer silence. When we remember that God walks with us in the midst of our storms, then we can kick in with these affirmations and the prayers that we know to come back to our still point, to come back to the centering point. Karen Klein must have cried out for some kind of help in her experience this past Monday. 68-year-old woman, a bus monitor. Some of you, did you hear this story in the news? Well, I'd like to, before I recount this story to those of you that may not have heard it, I'd like you to see what has happened, not only in that situation, but in the aftermath of that situation, and see the choices that people have made within this storm that was right before this woman. And just see who chose to strive for peace, who chose strength in the face of evil, and compassion for enemies, or who chose revenge and violence, who chose to generalize and jump to the conclusion about all children, who chose to give in to peer pressure and react in a cruel way. A lesson for all of us, no matter your age. So Karen Klein, bus monitor, 68 years old, riding on this school bus. And on Monday, she was the recipient of cruel, cruel bullying as four middle schoolers taunted her and taunted her and taunted her in horrible ways, saying terrible things to her. I'm sure she, like those disciples in the boat, cried out and said, "Where are you? Doesn't anyone care about me? Wake up!" As the disciples did to Jesus. Now, I don't know if she prayed, but I have a feeling she probably was praying. And she must have been crying out for that. She was, as she was receiving these tauntings, another student was videoing this whole situation, and it went out on YouTube and went viral. Well, the responses that came back to her and to other people were both positive and negative, but tons of contacts to her were compassionate, outpourings of care for her. On the other hand, there were death threats and threats of abuse to the perpetrators of this bullying. So in choosing which way to go, we can take our cue from Karen. She doesn't want to prosecute. However, she does want these children punished. She wants them to face some kind of consequences so that it will never happen again with them, and possibly to be able to affect other people so that it will never happen again with others. Listen to some of the quotes. As one father put it, his son is sitting back waiting for his punishment. No one has denied accountability, and they've taken responsibility for their actions. CNN received statements from two of the accused middle schoolers and the father of a third student apologizing for their behavior. One young man named Josh, who was one of the bullies, said, "When I saw the video, I was disgusted and could not believe I did that. I'm sorry for being so mean, and I will never treat anyone this way again." Now, he possibly was coerced into saying that. We don't know. But he possibly truly did feel that way. It's not for us to judge that. A teen named Wesley said he regretted his actions and would be really mad if someone had done the same to a family member. "If your friend says to bully somebody, please don't do it," said the father of Luis, another of the seventh graders. "We apologize to Ms. Klein. We're deeply sorry." Is the problem of bullying solved? No. However, the seeds of transformation and healing have begun in that community, and good can come of it by what we choose to do in the midst of a storm like this, which is just a prime example. We live out our storms literally and figuratively. When I was a teacher in the school here, when 9/11 happened, I remember Father Marty coming to my door, the sacred studies room, to tell me what had happened. And what did we do? We came to church. We came here. And we gathered together and we prayed, because this place, this sacred church, and the wider church, when healthy, is exactly that. It's our still point in the storm. It gives us the hope. It gives us the tools to be able to face the storms of our lives and to heal those storms, and not to be part of the problem, but part of the solution. You'll all remember, I'm sure, those of you that were here, in the summer of 2004, we had four hurricanes pretty much back to back, and 90% of the area was without power. And what did we do here? Father Marty gathered all of us in this nave without power, and we went through the roster of everybody to make sure that everyone was accounted for, that the shut-ins were visited and had food, that animals were found, that limbs were cut off of cars. We gathered together and found peace and hope and prayer in the middle of those storms. And many of you know that's why they call this a nave. Nave is Latin for boat. If you look upside down, this is the bottom of a hull of a boat. It's shaped like a boat. And that's why we are here and sheltered. And even when we are outside these walls, it becomes an icon for us and that reminder to go to God first and help to repattern the way we live our lives, and to be reminded of that always. Fred Buechner gave a sermon on this very scripture, and he says, and I quote, Go for God's sake and for your own sake too, and for the world's sake. Climb into your little tub of a boat and keep going. Christ sleeps in the deepest selves of all of us, and in whatever way we call on him, as the fishermen did in their boat, to come awake within us and to give us courage, to give us hope, to show us each one our way, May he be with us, especially when the winds go mad and the waves run wild, as they will for all of us before we're done, so that even in their midst, we may find peace, find Christ. Amen.